Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
I won't get into reading more texts, but can I just tell you, there are people all over the country, up to the age of 79, one texter here, who are still so damaged by bullying that happened years and years and years ago, and it's still hanging with them. Jerry Godley, good afternoon.
How are you, Brendan?
So I'm going to tell people before they book their retirement in Portugal to wait a minute and think of Singapore. So you're going to bring us to Singapore today. For people wondering what your qualifications are for a food slot, you're a baker these
I'm
days.
A baker now, yeah. I've been up since 4 a.m, loading the ovens as we speak now. The house is probably full of people picking up stuff. Actually, I brought the gang a few bits and pieces.
I don't know if the gang are there to take that. Get up the register of interest on the computer screen.
There's a couple of sausage rolls there because you look like a sausage roll kind of guy.
Okay, will you give us a description and a price on everything? Yeah, we'll put it on the register and we'll see if we're allowed to eat it or not. So listen, you're just back from Singapore. Your connection with Singapore, is that your partner?
My wife is from there. And in fact, Singapore is an incredibly ethnically diverse place, you know. In the main, you know, you've got mainland Chinese, you've got Indians, mostly South Indians, you've got Malays, and then you've got interesting hybrids like the Peranakans. So they're the Straits Chinese. They would have been, you know, Chinese settlers that came over and intermarried with Malays from like the 16th century onwards. And then you get really enigmatic things like Eurasians, right? So they would be the descendants of Portuguese and Dutch settlers there. But even by Singapore standards, Ailish, my wife, is kind of exotic. She's quarter Indonesian, quarter Chinese, quarter Indian, and probably quarter Irish because her maternal grandmother was from Mount Rath.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then all that melting pot of people has given rise to this incredible and kind of unique food culture. I suppose we think of Singapore and we mainly think of street food and amazing street food.
Yeah. And we're right too. I mean, I've been lots of times, but somehow this time it felt a bit more resonant, you know. And one of the reasons, actually, I guess, was we were there in the middle of durian season, which is this extraordinary.
Okay, explain fruit. The durian.
I'll explain the durian in due course. But the hawker centres, you know, the street food culture is a remarkable thing, you know. So I paint you a picture of one of them, which is the oldest one in the city, which is called Lau Pa Sat. And it's in their central business district. And actually, interestingly, it was designed and built by an Irishman, a guy called James Coleman, in 1838. So he was a sort of the kind of civic engineering brains between everything that Stamford Raffles, the colonial founder of the city, built. So he built bridges and he built roads and all sorts of stuff. Right. Just an interesting little Irish footnote in the colonial history in that part of the world. But anyway, Lau Pa Sat. So imagine you were in a building like, say, CHQ, down in the Docklands or the English Market in Cork, right? And imagine that every inch of that real estate was given over to independent kitchens, tiny little kitchens, 9 metres squared, open so you can see everything that's going on. And, you know, your senses are being, you know, assailed with, you know, the fragrance of like coconut and pandan leaf, which is this grass that they use to, very fragrant that they use in a lot of the cooking. Balachan, which is a dried fermented shrimp paste, which is Malay, which is kind of a cornerstone of a lot of the cooking there, you know. So and the place is buzzing and it's full of people. It's sort of chaotic and everybody's in a good mood because they're about to eat something really delicious. And then not only that, but every evening you do a temporary road closure outside and 20 more geezers set up these outdoor charcoal grills.
You're killing me here.
Then you multiply that by 120, right? Because there's 100.
Oh my God.
Right? Because there's 120 of these hawker centres across the island. And you plonk all of that down in a space that is actually smaller than Ireland's smallest county, which is County Louth, right? And that sort of gives you a sense of just how kind of pervasive this street food culture is.
So give me the top three things we need to eat in this situation?
Oh, well, I mean, the thing that's always in the guidebooks is the chili crab, but actually it's a bit of a faff, you know. It's lovely, but it's a lot more work to eat. Just, there's a lot of energy going in.
So you're getting you're having to extract the crab.
You have to extract the crab. I mean, the really emblematic dish in Singapore is chicken rice. And you know, Singapore's a very affluent place now, and there's a bit of a Vegas vibe to it in some ways. So you can eat anything you want. You can have anything you want in Singapore, you know. It has 56 Michelin star restaurants in a space the size of Louth, right? But actually, the food that the locals eat, the food that they all gravitate towards is, you know, much more familiar as kind of simple, hearty, very modest food. Because, there's an awful lot of connections, I think, between Ireland and Singapore. But one of them is that, you know, we're both islands, we have post-colonial history, but they've also known times of hardship, you know. So these dishes like chicken rice, will I tell you about that?
We'll put it up on the website
because
we're nearly out of time. Okay. And tell me about the durian fruit really quickly.
So the durian, yeah. I mean, the world's smelliest fruit. You can't bring it on the public transport system. Hotels won't allow you to bring it into the lobby. It has really taxed the imagination of Western food writers. Anthony Burgess said that it was like eating strawberry blancmange on the toilet.
The smell is the issue.
The smell is extraordinary, right?
But the taste?
Well, the taste is also extraordinary, you know, and it's like basically how it works is when it's in season, the vendors will sort of set up these little shacks where you can eat it because you can't really bring it indoors. What I would say about it is it's one of those things for your kind of food bucket list. You know, it's just the most, it's remarkably fragrant in good ways and bad ways. It has a texture unlike any other fruit and it's really something.
Okay, and the chicken rice recipe you've given us, quite simple, and we'll put that up on the website. Jerry Godley, thank you very much.